Morning. Today's daf is Mem and Nida. We are, in a couple of minutes from now, we're beginning the fifth paragraph of the Masechta. But to finish up from yesterday's daf, we're on Lamed Tesim and Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, and we are starting with the words of Rav Huna. We are addressing the following question. The Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Chesim and Beis said that the Echad Asar Yom, a woman is Becheskes Tara. The Mishnah is referring to the Echad Asar Yom after she's Anida. Minat Torah, a woman's Anida for 7 days and then a Zava for 11 days. The 11 days of Yemei Ziva, if she sees blood, she's Tamea. We described this numerous times already in the course of our Masechta. The 11 days are not expected days in which she should see. The cycle of a woman, the biological rhythm of a woman, dictates that she does not see during these 11 days. These are 11 days when they are unexpected, blood is unexpected to come. And as a result of that, when we talk about chazakah, when we talk about presumption, so after she goes over her status of being anida, and she told us in the mikvah, now she's becheskes tahara. And that becheskes tahara continues for 11 days. What happens after 11 days? So I described yesterday the machlokus between Rov Rishonim and the Rambam, exactly what happens on day 19. Go back to yesterday's daf for a review on that very basic point. In the meantime, the Mishnah says that kol echad asar yom becheskes tahara, Yashva la v'lo batka, and the Mishnah then goes on to describe where if she didn't do a bedika, either shigaga nensa hizida v'lo batka tahara, so she would be tahara. And then let's say the shas vest comes. Shas vest is we're talking about a woman who has a fixed cycle. She knows to the day when her menstrual cycle is going to start, and the day came, and she did not do a bedika. So I raise the tamea. So such a woman is tamea. Okay, that is the Mishnah. There's more to the Mishnah, the Sheet of Reb Meir, but anyway, that's the Mishnah. The Gemara's question is very simple. When we talk about chazakas, obviously, it has halachic ramifications. Otherwise, why we talk about a chazakah? So what halachic ramifications is our Mishnah making reference to? So if you remember yesterday's daf, we cited three Amoraim's opinion in terms of what exactly is the halachic consequence of her being becheskes tahara. We had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda over there, who says that she does not need to do a bedika, even if she's a sukkah b'taharos, even a woman who's involved in taharos does not need to do a bedika. That's opinion number one. Opinion number two we saw yesterday was Rav Chista. Rav Chista says that our Mishnah is as per the position of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that a woman who does not have a vest kavua cannot live with her husband anymore, cannot be with her husband anymore. That's true. But the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, she can remain with her husband. After that, no longer. Okay, and there was a very curious opinion of Rav Chista yesterday that a couple knows they're going to get a divorce, but it's for halachic reasons. It's not because they are it has nothing to do with their compatibility. They like each other. It's just a halachic issue that they have to get a divorce. And meanwhile, even though they know they can get a divorce, they can be together for a little bit longer. It's a very curious position. That was number two. And the third position, which we saw yesterday, which is not really defensible, is Rava. The Gemara didn't have a defense for Rava's position, but Rava says that a woman who bleeds during her Yemei Ziva is not going to be Matame Meisleis. The problem with that is that we have a Braisa that says a woman who bleeds during her Yemei Ziva is going to have a Tuma Meisleis. So it is a nice Pshat in our Mishnah, but it goes right against the Braisa. And the Gemara Tiyufta, the Gemara just simply ends off by saying that's a difficult position to maintain. With that stated, we are now up to the fourth position, Rav Huna, and as I mentioned yesterday, Rav Huna will take us through the end of the parak, and so let's begin it right now. We are on the bottom of Lamed Tesim and Aleph, towards the bottom. It's about three-quarters of the way down. First, we're in the lines Meisleis to Yufta, and now we begin with our fourth approach to the Mishnah. What is the halachic significance of the Mishnah? Rav Huna bar Chiya Amar Shmuel Elomar She'inu Kavas Lavest B'stochi Meizi Vasa. In terms of establishing a fixed cycle. So again, we know a woman has a fixed cycle, so the fixed cycle is what it is, but because these 11 days are days in which a woman doesn't normally see, so therefore any issue, any discharge of blood that comes out during these 11 days is not going to be counted towards her vest. Obviously, it's bleeding. Obviously, the blood is tame. Obviously, she is tamea. But it's not going to establish a vest, it's not going to establish a cycle. You don't string together this discharge with any other discharge in order to create any kind of cycle. That is the chiddush of our Mishnah, that during these 11 days, a woman is becheskes tahara. Very good. It's a good pshat. I'm Rav Yosef, lo shmili hashmaitata. So Rav Yosef says, you know, so funny, it's such a novel idea, I never heard this before. Now you know what's coming next because this happens often throughout Shas, very often throughout Shas. So we know Rav Yosef, so one of the middle period Amoraim, right? A couple generations after Rav and Shmuel. So we know that Rav Yosef went through a terrible illness. He lost his sight and he lost his memory. And so very often what happens is that he went back to the base medrash and he relearned everything. And very often is the time is that when he relearns something, he's like, oh, that's so interesting. And what the Talmidim are going to tell him is, you know, it's interesting. You know who taught us that? You taught us that. It's kind of hard to imagine hearing that again and again in the base medrash, how he was the Rebbe and he taught all this. And now he's learning it again for what for him is the first time. Okay, but this happens throughout Shas. So I'm Rav Yosef, lo shmi Allah ha-shmaitetos. Rav Yosef says, I never heard it. So I'm Le Abai, atamart ni'alan, ve'ahamart lan. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, what do you mean? Not only is this a good limud, it's a good mesorah, you're the one who taught it to us. Ha'isa limud li'osra, yam tezva, vishin tali yam chav, zeveze asura. Let's say a woman sees regularly a 15-day interval. Now, we have to explain that better in just a moment. We will. So, right now, don't get caught on the number 15. Okay? So, a woman sees, let's say, on 15-day interval, and then, 1 month, instead of having a 15-day interval, she sees now on a 20-day interval. So, she moved 5 days forward. So, Zevazasurin. So, in the next month now, so which day does she have to worry about? So she has to worry about day 15 because that's a normal interval, but she also has to worry to 20 because it seems to be presenting a new cycle. Now, a cycle hasn't been created yet. A pattern hasn't been created yet until she does it 3 times, but still, you need to at least be worried that this may be a new interval. Now, let's not get caught up in the numbers yet. So Zevazah Asurin L'Shamish. Shinsa Pamayim L'Yom Chav Zevazah Asurin. Now, let's say this happens for a second time. So you still have to maintain the 15, and you also have to maintain 20 as well. Why? Because the old pattern doesn't get lost until you lose it 3 times. The new pattern doesn't get obtained until you establish it 3 times. So until it recurs 3 times. So you, by time number 2, the old pattern hasn't left, so you still have to maintain to that old 15, and the new pattern hasn't occurred yet, so you have to be choshish for 20. Okay. The Amart Lanala, so far, that is the basic point we understand. The idea that in order for a pattern to be established, you need 3. In order for a pattern to be broken, you need an absence of 3. That's the point of the Braisa. That's really good. But Rav Yosef, when you taught us this Braisa, you made the following addendum to the Braisa. Important addendum. I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. You quoted in the name of Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. Lo shanu ela tesval v'tvila sa shein chav bet l'riyasa. Da asami mein din desa kai la. Aval tesval l'riyasa di mei ziva kai lo kava. Here's what you taught us. The number 15. The number 15 is not from the time that she initially discharged in her last cycle. And I'll tell you why. Because consider, if we're talking about the number 15, what is the number 15? Number 15 takes us through the 7 days of Ziva, but then what it's going to do is it's only going to take us 8 days in, I'm sorry. The number 7 is going to be the 7 days of her Nida, right. And then it's going to go 8 days into her Yemei Ziva. Now that can't establish a vest. So the number 15 is not to be understood from the time that she initially discharged, but rather, the number 15 is from the time that she toveled in the mikvah. When did she tovel in the mikvah? After day 7. Again, Min HaTorah. A woman is Tamei Nida for 7 days. Then she tovels in the mikvah on the night of the 8th. And now she's Tahora. So what happened over here is that 15 days after Tvila, that's when, that was her pattern. So now what do we understand? 15 is not 15, but rather 22. Right? 22 is the new 15. Good. Okay,
but isn't she a Nida for the next 7 days after the 15?
So
what how did the 20th get into it?
No, 22. No. She's not. Meaning,
she's not?
No.
Only for that one day?
She'll be, no. Her pattern has been 22 days. And so that means that her vest kavua is on a 22-day cycle, on a 22-day interval. Yeah. So every 22nd day, she sees her Pesach Nida. We're going to assume not like the Rambam. We're going to assume like Rav Rishonim. What happens after 18 days? What happens after 18 days is nothing. Meaning, the next time she becomes Anida is the next time she initiates her next cycle. So that means on day 22 now, that's the beginning of her next cycle. And that's going to continue. And what happens is that she went from day 22 to day 27. Because remember, everything is now not marked from the time that she initially discharged, but rather from the time that she told in the mikvah. So if 15 is 22, so what does that make 20? 20 now is 27. Good. So all this is getting us now to the following point. So, Sheikha Belariasa, the Hazmi Menisa Kaila. Aval Tesra Belariasa, the Meme Ziva Sakailo Kava. I read that just to now explain this a little bit better. So now, if we were to hold with 15 being from the initial discharge, that doesn't work. Why not? Because that's during her Yemei Ziva. A woman does not fix her vest kavua for any discharge that occurs during her Yemei Ziva. To reiterate, obviously, she's Tamea. She's a Zava. If she did that three consecutive days, she'd be a Zava Gadola. But the point is that in establishing a pattern, it does not establish a pattern unless it's days, which could bring her to being a Nida. Now, Amra Papa Armisa Lashmaita Kamei Ravi Hudami Diskarta Mikva Lokave Mechishnami Mahu Denechush La. Okay, so here's what I now have learned. Rav Yosef taught it to us. It's been established. A woman is not Koveya Vest with any discharge that she sees during her Yemei Ziva. That's a given. That's Rav Yosef's shot. He forgot it. He was reminded. It goes back to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We now got it. Question. I know now that it cannot fix a Vest Kavua. But let's see, she sees during her Yemei Ziva the next month. So obviously that's a very quick interval. But I didn't mean the next month, but the next cycle. Right. In the next cycle, should at least we be concerned about the possibility that it may come? I know it won't fix the vest kavua. I know you cannot create a pattern. I get it. But at least you will be choshesh. That's the question on the table. Ishtik v'lo amale v'lo midi. Didn't know the answer? It's a tough question. But does she even need to? The question is, does she need to do a bedika? If we're not choshe, she wouldn't even have to do a bedika. If it's unnecessary and she's becheskes tahara, so then we'd prefer her not doing a bedika. So I'm Rav Papa, nechze anan. So Rav Papa says, so let's see if we can, on our own, figure it out. And I think we can, says Rav Papa. So here we go again. We're just going to repeat now the Braisa and the teaching of Rav Yosef. So the Braisa says that she normally sees 15. And on one cycle, she moved from 15 to 20. Now, let's see if we can figure this out. We can. It takes a little bit of brain power. But let's see if we can figure this out. She normally goes on a 22 cycle. And then what happens is that she moved from 22 over to 27. Okay, fine. So that means that what's going to happen next month? Next month now, she has to be concerned about both numbers. The number 22 and the number 27. Consider now the following. When she goes 22 after the last 22, because that has been her cycle, and she's worried now about the number 22, so she's going to be from the number 27 within the Yemei Ziva, and so that means to say now that even though she's within her Yemei Ziva, because they're their cheshash, because of a concern, so the Braisa has just taught us that we are going to be concerned of at least a possibility that she's going to be discharging, even though she's only being a Ziva. So, if we're following the Braisa well with Rav Yosef's explanation, so now it sounds like, look, it's not going to set a pattern. That we know. But at least are we should be concerned about it? The answer seems to be yes. Again, she went 22, 22, 22, and now she moves to 27. So now what is she going to do? The next month she's going to do 22 and 27. Again, I'm just reviewing. 22 from when? So 22 from her the last time that she initially discharged. But within the 27 that she's concerned about, that is going to be within her, that's going to be Tochi Meziva. Alma, what do you see from this? Chayshin Allah, that we are Choshesh. Okay. Now, V'kasavra, Papa, Esrin Metartim, Esrin Metartim, Maninan, Nido Upischa, Me Esrin, V'zayin Maninan. So now, in order to make this argument, to make this proof, so you have to do what we just did, which is that when you are Choshesh for the new numbers of 22 and 27, you go back to 22 in the day that she expected to see. Now, to which the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Huna, Bridger Rav Shul, Rav Papa, Mimai. I think your assumption is faulty. Why? This is Rav Huna speaking to Rav Papa. Dilma Esrim V'Tarti Nami Esrim V'Zayin Maninan. Look, she normally goes 22 days, and then she moved to 27. Okay? And now all of a sudden, right, her world is turned upside down. Not exactly. Hyperbole. But in other words, she went from 20 to 27. And now, what did the Braisa teach us? We have to worry now about two intervals. A 22-day interval and a 27-day interval. To make your point, you assume that the 22-day interval is from the time that she expected to see. What Rav Huna says to Rav Papa is, I think you're wrong. I think that once she sees on day 27, she does have to worry about those two intervals, the 22-day interval and the 27-day interval. But I think both of them start from the time that she actually discharged. And if I'm right about that, then your proof is lost. Because we're trying to figure out whether you should be choshesh for any bleeding that occurs during Yemei Ziva. But I'm telling you that both of those intervals, 22 and 27, are counted from the day that she actually discharged, not when she expected to discharge. And so that means to say that even as we are concerned about both those days, neither of those days are occurring during the Yemei Ziva, because 22 obviously is well after 18. 27 is even more than after 18. That is the counter argument of Rav Huna. Right, exactly what we just said. That 22 days now are going to be during her Yemei Nida, not during her Yemei Ziva. And the Gemara says, and Rav Huna continues, and Rav Huna says, look, I think this is logical. Look, we're talking about patterns and discharges. Now, of course, we're looking at a chicken and laying an egg, and it's obviously not the same as a woman having a cycle, obviously. But the point is that as patterns go, this is how patterns normally go. Let's say you have a chicken who is on the following cycle. Every other day, she lays an egg. And to make this clear, let's say she lays eggs on even days. Okay? I'm just choosing a pattern arbitrarily. There's nothing inherent in even, but she has it on every even day. So, v'chavsha yuma, v'chavsha, hare yuma, v'rami, I'm sorry. V'chavsha yuma, v'ramya yuma, v'chavsha yuma, v'chavsha tre yuma, v'ramya chad yuma. So now what happens is as follows. One day, even though she expected to see on even days and lay an egg on even days, one day what happened is that she went 2 days without laying an egg. And now what happens is that she moved to the odd day. Okay? So in other words, instead of laying the egg on the second day, which was an even day, she now laid an egg on the odd day, which was the third day. Fine. And now, ki hadra nakta kidla kame nakta, o kidimin ikara nakta. Now, eventually, what's going to happen is that she's going to go on pattern of having the egg every other day. But is it going to be that she's going to reset to the even days? Or is she now going to establish the new pattern based on the odd days? Based on what happened now and not what we expected. Al-karcha kidla kame nakta. Now, the Gemara assumes this to be so. And again, you know, the Gemara has enough experience, hands-on experience, with patterns and chicks and chickens and egg laying. So the Gemara has enough experience to know, meaning for me to say this so boldly and so confidently, as if I knew, I don't know. But obviously we trust the Gemara's empirical knowledge. And that is that obviously, I'm saying it as the Gemara is talking. Obviously, it's going to be now just simply every other day. It's going to shift from being from the even day to the odd day because the pattern is going to be based on not what we expected, but what actually presented itself. Since the chicken now laid on an odd day, it skipped a day. So now, but we're assuming every other day. And now we're just going to move it over from the even to the odds. The point of all this is that when you are operating in with a possible new cycle, you operate it based on not what we expected, but rather on what actually happened. Okay.
Same with the women.
And right, correct. And the Gemara assumes the same thing. So she went 22, 22, 22, and then one time she moved over to 27. Okay, now she has two numbers to be concerned about, the 22 and the 27. But both of those are going to be counted from not the day that we expected her to see, but the day that she actually saw. If that's true, which Rav Huna is making a very strong argument that that's so now we no longer have a proof. We wanted to say that during Yemei Ziva we should be choshesh. No, that's not even the case over here. So it's not like we're saying that he's wrong. It's just simply saying that we don't have a proof. So the Gemara considers the following. Reish Lakish says that a woman's kovea vest when she is besoch her 11 days, when she's within her 11 days. A woman's not going to be kovea vest when she's besoch nida. Rav Yochanan Amar Isha kovas la vest besoch imei nidusa. Hei chidami. Now, it's a machlokas, and it's hard to understand at face value. Meaning, they are arguing about Yemei Ziva, whether that could create a vest. Sorry. They're in agreement by Yemei Ziva that could create a vest. But they're arguing about Yemei Nida. That is difficult to understand. Our assumption has been that it's more probable for her to establish a pattern based on bleeding that happens during Yemei Nida, because that's the time where she's expected to see blood, not during Yemei Ziva. What's happening over here? Hey Chidami, that's the Gemara's next question. So Lav Kegon. So the Gemara says, I think the scenario is as follows. Right now, the debate has no context, so we don't know what's going on. So the Gemara now is going to give context. Kegon dechazay b'resh yarcha v'chamshi b'yarcha v'resh yarcha v'chamshi b'yarcha. So what happens is as follows. A woman has the following pattern. It's an interesting pattern. She sees on the first of the month and the fifth. She sees on the first of the month and then the fifth. So the resh yarcha v'chamshi b'yarcha resh yarcha v'chamshi b'yarcha v'hashta chazay b'chamshi yarcha. We get to month number three. Now, month number three, so she sees on day five, but not on day one. Okay, so she's going. Now, we're talking about dates of the month. 1-5, 1-5, and then month number three, she went...
Same month, 1-5?
Yeah. What?
One, the first day of the month and the fifth day of the same month.
Yeah. Okay. So, the... Reish yarcha v'chamsha b'yarcha v'hashta chazai b'chamsha b'yarcha. And then she saw, on month number three, she saw only on the fifth day. The Kamar, Isha Kovas La Vest Besochi Mei Nidusa. And we're saying that a woman is Kovei Vest because she is Besochi Mei Nidusa. Ama Miresh Yarcha Manina. Now, if that's so, what are we saying? We're saying that we're basing ourselves on expectation. But the fact that she was expecting to see on the first of the month, she did not see on the first of the month, but nevertheless, we're calling the fifth month Yemei Nidusa because it's based on the one, which was the expectation. If this is correct, so now it comes out that we do seem to be going on expectation and not on actual. And Amar Leilo, and he says, no, you're not saying the right pshat. And that's not the right context. What is the right context? Hachi Amar Rav Yochanan Kegon, Dechazai Reish Yarcha V'Reish Yarcha, V'Esrim V'Chamshim B'Yarcha V'Reish Yarcha. So we're talking about the following pattern. A woman saw on the first of the month, and then she saw next month on the first of the month. And then what happens is that on the next month, she saw on the 25th of the end of the second month, and then on the first of the third month. Damrina and Dami Yaseira Hudi Itof Sabah. So here's what we're saying. We're saying is that, look, her pattern really is the first of the month. She came a little bit earlier, 5 days earlier than she normally would. There was extra blood. It started coming out a little bit earlier. It would not be Dam Ziva. Dam Ziva is only within the 11 days after the 7.
But this is... No. The dates here are the 1st and the 25th, right?
Yeah.
So that's the...
So the 25th is within the 11th period, no?
It's after.
7-11, right?
It's well after. It's well after. 11 days after the 7 days.
But she's supposed to get her next cycle at the...
She's first. Expecting on the first. It came on the 25th, 5 days earlier.
So would not be the Ziva because it's before her cycle? That's a vest?
No. Ziva's only 11 days. Okay. V'chein ki yasa rabin v'chol nechusei yama amru ke Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua. And everyone says, like Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua, that we go not based on the time that she expected, but rather based on the time that she actually saw. Okay, so... Let's just quickly recap the Gemara from yesterday's daf, finish it up, and then we will be able to start today's daf. So again, to the question of the Mishnah telling us that for the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, she is Becheskes Tahara. That's the Mishnah. What's the significance of that? What's the halachic significance? So over the course of yesterday's daf, we went through four pshatim. I already reviewed the first three, and just to review now the fourth pshat. Fourth pshat is that any bleeding that happens during Yemei Ziva, which will make her Tameya, and make her a Zava, and in 3 consecutive days make her a Zava Gedola. All that is given. That's the starting point. That's the basics. But in terms of establishing a pattern, because it's unexpected bleeding, so as a result of that, it is not going to be establishing a pattern. A woman will not be Koveya any kind of vest with a pattern that occurs and recurs during her Yemei Ziva. The only question now on the table left, which the Gemara discussed extensively, is are we Choshesh? If she saw during her Yemei Ziva, is that something at least she's going to have to be concerned about? Not that it will establish a pattern, but at least be concerned to the point where she'll have to do a bedika. This question was raised, and the Amoraim deliberated this point using the Braisa as proof or disproof to that point for the balance of the Amud. Okay. Patterns can be established by either dates of the month. Patterns can be established by intervals. Either one. It's not exclusive. In other words, a pattern can be established by intervals and days of the month. Later in the Masechta, we're going to do a lot of pattern talk and how patterns are established. Okay. We start now this morning the fifth parak of the Masechta and Yotzei Dofen. The baby comes out via cesarean. The cesarean section has been around for a very long time, named after Caesar. I remember researching this once. Maybe a little bit of a misnomer in terms of whether that is the first time it happened or not. Anyway, it doesn't. The history is interesting, but Yotzei Dofen's been around, obviously around for a very long time. The question is a very simple question, having many halachic ramifications. We, of course, are learning Masechta Nida, so really we're really focusing on Tumat Tahara, right? And Tumas Leida. That's our focus. But it affects many other halachas as well. Bris Mila, by the way, just an interesting one, right? The baby comes out via cesarean, so do you do the bris on the eighth day? Machlokis Amarayim, whether or not you do a bris on the eighth day, if the baby came out via cesarean. So the one position is that you do it on the first day, another position is you do it on the eighth day. And it's a Gemara Shabbos. In terms of the basis of that machlokis, if any time that we have a baby coming out via cesarean, we do it on the eighth day, but we're not sure if that's right. Consequently, if let's say the bris of a baby was on a Shabbos, but the previous Shabbos the baby came out via cesarean, so the bris is not going to be docheh Shabbos. You wait till after Shabbos to do the bris. Okay. Interesting halacha, but that is not, we're discussing cesarean, but we're discussing it from Tumat Tahara. The Mishnah starts. Yotzei Dofen and Yoshua and Alav Yimei Tumah, V'Yimei Tara, V'Ein Chayav and Alav Karban. So the Tanakhama says, look, Yotzei Dofen, the baby's a viable baby. Mirtz Hashem will be healthy, everything, so far, so good. As far as the mother's concerned, that is not considered a Leida vis-a-vis Tumah. The mother will not be Tumea Leida. There is, in Yoshua and Alav Yimei Tumah, V'Yimei Tara, she's not going to be Tumea, not for 733. Not for 1466, it is not considered a Leida vis-a-vis Tumat Tahara. She's not going to bring a carbon. Okay, I know the Mishnah is being a little bit verbose, but the Mishnah wants to cover every ramification of it being a Leida, or in this case, it not being a Leida. Rabbi Shimon Amar Harezek Yilud, and Rabbi Shimon diametrically opposes the Tanakhama, and Rabbi Shimon says this is considered a Leida, and will have all the effects of Tumah vis-a-vis Leida. What is the source of those of the machlokas? You probably guessed correctly. The Gemara is going to be spending some time with that. The second point of the Mishnah: Kol Neshem Etamos Bebeis Chitzon Shenemer Dami Yezava Kibs. Biv Sara. So as far as when a woman becomes Tamea, I know we discussed this earlier in the Masechta, but the Mishnah now is just establishing these facts. Very often is the time whenever we learn a Masechta, the basic information is given at the end or towards the end of the Masechta. I mean, right now we happen to be towards the middle, but in order to know the Masechta, you have to know the Masechta, right? I know that can be frustrating at times, but that's just simply how it works. So we had to know this information already on day one of the Masechta. But here the Mishnah teaches us on Daf Mem that a woman becoming a Nida, that is when the blood leaves the uterus and enters into the canal. That is when she's a Nida. Now, that's not true when it comes to a Zav and a Balkeri. By a Zav and a Balkeri, it has to actually exit the body of the man. The Tumah, meaning the discharge itself, has to leave their body. So just to be in the tube, in the urethra tube, is not enough to make the man Tame. It actually has to exit his body. We saw this back in the second parak, this Mishnah. Let's say a man feels that he's going to have a discharge. And this man is a Kohen, and he's going to eat Truma. And if he discharges, he's going to be Tameh. The Truma that he's currently holding in his hands is going to be Tameh. So if there is a way, the Mishnah is assuming that this is a possibility, if there's a way where he could delay the discharge from occurring, even though it means that he's going to have to hold his Amah, which if you remember back in the second paragraph, we discussed extensively, that that's something that a man should not do in general, but if he can hold his Amah in order to swallow the Truma, so that the Truma is prevented from becoming Tameh. Third point of the Mishnah. Umitamim b'choshu afilu ke'ein achardal uvepachos mikan, mikain. And as far as how much needs to discharge from the woman, again, I know we discussed this in the beginning of the Masechta, but here we are, and the Mishnah tells us how much needs to discharge. The amount is any amount, meaning because this is a tuma of discharge, it's a ri'iya. A ri'iya itself does not need a shear. It can be any amount, and the woman will be a nida. Amar of Mani Bar Pachas, there are three points of the Mishnah. We are going back to the first point to discuss it in detail. Amar of Mani Bar Pachas, my time under Rabbanan. What is the reason behind the Chachamim that a cesarean baby does not give the mother to Masleda? Amakra Ishaki, Sazria Vialda Zachar, Acha Teled Bamakum Shihi Mazras. So, the Pasuk, the Drasha. The Torah says that a woman is inseminated, and then she has a baby. Now, I know there's a 9-month interval. But the point is, however, is that the baby, as it qualifies for Tumah, is only if it's emerging in the same area in which she got inseminated. So that means to say that it has to be a natural delivery. So Rabbi Shimon, Haida afilo yalda ela ke'en shi'izriya, imo tamei leida. So the Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to have to keep going back and forth. This is going to be classic Gemara ping-ponging back and forth between what each Tana is going to do with the other Tana's proof and source. So, Rabbi Shimon over here will say, I agree with you, there's a drasha. I think the drasha is a different drasha. The drasha is that if Rachmanus, the baby emerges in a state of not viability, not even not viable, baby comes out in liquid form. It disintegrates to the point, it dissolves to the point where it's in liquid form. It comes out looking the same way that the zera went inside of the mother, still the mother is going to be Tamei Aleda. Rabbi Shimon, my time, and by the way, and then you're going to have to go back and forth, meaning, how do the Chachamim know this? The Chachamim agreed to this point. How do the Chachamim know this point? So see the first Rashi in the Gemara. I'm not going to go through it right now, where Rashi cleans up a little bit over here, more of the back and forth between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, my time, my. Now, what's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon says that a cesarean delivery is considered a leida vis-a-vis Tumat Tahara. I'm a Reish Lakish, I'm a Kra. So here Reish Lakish explains the position of Rabbi Shimon. The Pasuk says, I'm a Kra, Tele, the rabbis, Yose, Dolphin. So the Pasuk says, Tele. It's an extra Tele, right? V'im Nekeva Tele, which the Torah already covered, Im Zachar Tele. So Im Nekeva, and the word Tele was unnecessary. Contextually, in the Pasuk, we already know that we're talking about Leida. So the word Tele over here is totally extraneous. And so therefore, what do I do with a superfluous word? Drasha. Yotzei Dofen. It includes even the cesarean. And the Chachamim also feel that it's extraneous and also have a drasha. But the drasha is to include what if what came out of the mother is someone whose gender is either unknown because that's tumtum, because it's being covered by a membrane, or the baby is demonstrating both genders. That's an androgynous. So, because the Havamina would have been that it is only going to be Tumas Leida when the mother has a definitive birth, and this is not definitive. This is not definitive male or not definitive female. Rabbi Shimon Nafkalei Midatni Bar Levi. Now, here the Gemara helps us with the back and forth. What is Rabbi Shimon, who agrees with this point, but he already learns it from a different limud? Didni Bar Levi Leven. Leven mikomakom. Levas, levas mikomakom. So those words, leben and levas, are extra words, and he darshens out that is inclusive of tumtum and jugnus, making the mother tumas leida. Now the Chachamim counter by saying, we agree there's a drasha over there. We feel that the drasha over there is to teach us that a woman is chayv a karban, a separate karban, for every birth that she has. Rashi over here reminds us of the Gemara that we learned earlier. If she had a miscarriage within the malos, so that does not require an extra carbon. What does require an extra carbon is, let's say, after her malos, after 40 days after having had a boy, or after 80 days after having a girl, if she has another birth, so that is going to require another carbon. Rabbi Shimon Nafkalei Midinina. Rabbi Shimon agrees with that point, but he learns it from a different source. Tanaka Meid Rav Sheshes Zos Toros Ayoledes Malam Shemevia Carbon Echad Al Vlados Arbe. So the Zos Taras Ayoledes tells us that sometimes a woman brings one carbon for many different births. Yachol Tavi Aleda Ve'al Ziva Ka'achas. Then the Brisa says, well, maybe one carbon can cover both Leida and Ziva. Now immediately the Gemara looks at that Brisa and the Gemara is like bewildered. What? Ella yoledes de achla dam v'yoledes de achla chela b'chad karban tizkela. What I don't understand. Leida and Ziva are two totally separate tumas, requiring two totally separate karbanos. How can even as a hava mina we entertain that for Leida and Ziva one karban is going to cover it? That is not even a hava mina. It's not tenable. So ella yachol tavi aleida shlifnei malos v'aleida shal acher malos kachas. Ah, no, the brisa was making this point. How do I know that if she had a baby before her malos, one baby which leads to a malos, meaning a counting of 40 or 80 days, depending on whether it's a boy and a girl, and the next baby occurred after the malos, meaning it didn't go to full term, because if it did, obviously it's well after the malos. A malos is only maximum 80 days. But let's say she had a baby, Rachmanos, on day 81 or day 82 as a miscarriage. So how do I know that this woman now is going to have to bring a carbon for each of those events? Tamalamer Zos, the word Zos is telling us that it is to be divided, that a woman is going to have to bring a karma for each one. Now the Chachamim, who already learned this halacha from the pasuk, from the words Laben Labas, so they need both drushas, the Zos drusha and the drusha Laben Labas. Why do I need both? If I only had one drusha, here's what I would have said. If a woman had multiple conceptions and multiple pregnancies, and the second pregnancy occurred after the malos of the first pregnancy, so then I have one drasha to teach me that she has to bring two karbanos, and that I would have known. But what about the case of the bnei bnei Rabbi Chiya? Bnei Rabbi Chiya was the second time in the Masechta we're hearing about bnei Rabbi Chiya. So they were twins conceived at the same time, and they came out almost 3 months apart from one another. Right, one was born at the beginning of the 6th month, and the other one was born at the end of the 9th month. Okay, certainly an abnormality, but it happened. The Gemara related that it happened, and now you have Leda, where they're 3 months apart from one another. That's close to 90 days separating these two. 90 days separating these two. That is certainly well after the Malos. But I would have made the argument she doesn't have to bring two karbanos because it all generated from one conception. That's what I would have thought. So the chiddush is no. Even in that case, she has to bring two karbanos. I'm Rav Yochanan. Okay, period. Adkan. Okay, so on the first machlokas of our Mishnah, there's a debate between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. A woman who has a baby via cesarean, whether or not she's tamei tumas leida. The Tanakam of our Mishnah says she's not. We just went through all the drushas that get us to that point. And Rabbi Shimon says that she is Tamei Aleida. And we went through the drushas for Rabbi Shimon. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Moda Rabbi Shimon Bekachim, Sheinu Kadosh. Now here's Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that Rabbi Shimon is going to have agreement. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, the cesarean birth is considered a Leida. But then not universally. Not for every halacha. For Tumas Leida of the mother, yes. But Rabbi Shimon will agree that when it comes to kachim, ain't no kadosh. So let's say that we're not talking about a human anymore, but we're talking about the birth of an animal, and it was the first one that was born, and it came out via cesarean. It does not have kedusha saguf. It's not gonna have the bechor, the status of bechor. Now my taima. Now why is it that Rabbi Shimon would agree? Because gamar leida leida mi bechor. So, because we learn out the Leida, the halacha of Leida from Bechor. Ma hasam petarechem, afkan petarechem. So, just like over there it's petarechem, so too over here it's petarechem. So, when it comes to a Bechor, so we know that a Bechor is going to be defined by it breaching through the natural delivery tract of the mother. And so, therefore, that is what is going to define a Bechor. That's true for Adam. That's true for Behemoth as well. So, Mahasam Petarechem, Afkan Petarechem. Veligmar Leida Leida Me Adam. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. I can make another limud. I could say that we're going to learn the limud from Adam. Meaning, we know that regarding Adam, again, we're all discussing within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. By Adam, it's the cesarean delivery is going to be Metame Tumas Leida. So maybe we're going to have a drush over here to bring us to even an animal that's born via cesarean. Mahasin Yosei Dofen, Afkan Yosei Dofen. So just like over there it's Yosei Dofen, so too over here Yosei Dofen. Mistabra ben b'chor hayalala melef shekein imo me imo. So the Gemara says, no, we should learn it from Bechor because we have a Gzereshava of Imo, Imo. Rashi goes through the Pesukim. See Rashi for the Pesukim. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? We can learn it from Adam because we also have Gzereshava over there, Pasha, Pasha. Meaning, and see Rashi all, there. Pasha, by the way, sorry. Pashut is not a drasha. Okay. I was about to make a mistake. Okay, good. Pashut is not a drasha. Pashut is just simply the idea that when dealing with a bechor, you have the idea that there's a firstborn and then there's all subsequent births. You don't have that concept by Tumas Leida. By Tumas Leida, every birth results in Tumas Leida. So, I'd rather learn bechor Adam, bechor Behema, because we have the concept of Pashut Pashut. Meaning the subsequent births are going to be non-bechor. So elam bechor av elam elef. So now we have over here either gzereshava of imo, or we have the construct, the argument of pasha pasha. So which one now is going to win out? Which one is going to have favor? So hava elam elef elam bechor. I'm sorry, elam bechor hava elam elef. So we should learn from bechor for the following reason. Shekain. And now here's what the Gemara is going to do. This is classic Gemara. Meaning, I have now an opportunity to learn a halacha regarding a Bechor, the firstborn, where it came out via cesarean. And what we're saying right now is that it does not have, even Rabbi Shimon would agree, that even though Legabe Tumas Leida, that is considered a birth, but regarding the halachas of Bechor, it's not considered a birth. And why? So the Gemara says, because for Rabbi Shimon, he's learning it out from Bechor Behema. And now what we are going to do is we're going to go into classic Gemara mode of, I have two sources of where I can learn it from. Let's see in which of those two sources does it share more characteristics. And so here we go, Shekain. So the Gemara now is going to go with the similarities between the animals. Aim, behemoth kachim, pigel, nosar, vitame. Look at Rashi over here. Shekein em behemoth kachim pigel nosar vitame. Im bitarvayu ksiv imo bitarvayu behemoth kachim. So first of all, they are both connected with the word imo, meaning that's the drasha. Number the gzereshava. Number two, they're both referring to behemoth kachim, and also pigel nosar vitame noeg behem lafuke adam delesa bechol hani. Now by adam, you don't have the gzereshava of imo, and on top of that, you have none of these halachas, which are all carbon halachas. By the Bechor, you have all these halachas. And by the birth of a carbon, you have all these halachas as well. Okay. That is why we should learn it out, the Bechor from Kachim. The Gemara says, Adarabba mi'adam av l'melef. What do you mean? Let's learn it from a person. Why? Shekain. And here the Gemara now lists the similarities between the Bechor Adam and the Bechor Behema. Pashut, Zachar. Kadosh b'matana. Pashut, again, when it comes to Bechor Adam and Bechor Behema, the first one is significant, all the rest of them, not insignificant, just not a Bechor. Okay? That's the idea of Pashut. Zachar, when it comes to the firstborn of a man, the firstborn of an animal, only to the males. Kadosh, both of them have a degree of Kedusha. Now, the Kadosh, look at Rashi, right? Kadosh. V'tarvayu bein Adam and Kachem lo havu kadoshin me aleihem, ava bechor kedusha so me elav. U'bein Kachem bein Adam lo have, the kedusha comes in of itself. And that's, of course, not true by regular carbon. A standard carbon, you have to be maktish. And number four, matana. That when it comes to the bechor Adam and the bechor Behema, it's a gift to the Kohen. By Karbanos, not necessarily. Rashi says, let's say, for example, Shlamim. Shlamim primarily is eaten by the owner. Yes, there are parts of it that do go to a Kohen. Chaz v'shok does go to a Kohen. But primarily, it belongs to the owner. By Bechor Adam and Bechor Behema goes to the Kohen. Now, by Bechor Adam, you, of course, have the chance of being Podeh. By Bechor Behema, you don't have that chance. But anyway, what we have over here is a question of, I have the halacha of we start with Rabbi Shimon. I'm just starting us off from the beginning. I have Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that a cesarean section is considered a birth regarding Tumas Leida. The Rav Yochanan makes the argument that Rabbi Shimon does not take that position as it relates to the birth of a carbon, meaning if a carbon gave birth and it what came out via cesarean, it does not have the kedusha of a carbon. It's not considered a birth. Why? So because it is comparable to Bechor Behema, and by Bechor Behema, so it has Petarechem, so to over here, by the kedusha of the birth of a carbon, it's Petarechem. The Gemara says, why don't we learn it out from Bechor Adam? And according to Rabbi Shimon, Bechor Adam has kedusha even though it comes out via cesarean. And so the Gemara went through the classic discussion of which one is it more comparable to. Now, what? Who? According to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Hanach Nefishin. So the Gemara says, okay. But when you count up the numbers, and I did, so it comes out that it is more comparable to a Bechor. There are 5 points of similarity as opposed to, as opposed to comparing it to an Adam, only has 4 similarities. Amar Rav Chiya Barei D'Rav Huna Mishmei D'Rav Atayin D'Maseh Alei L'Rav Yochanan. Here's a braisa that clearly supports the position of Rav Yochanan. And so for the remainder of today, we're going to do this quickly. For the remainder of today, we're going to learn a braisa together. The braisa should sound familiar. We saw this braisa in Zvachim many times. We also saw it back in Horios, but that is even a longer time ago. But we saw it in Zvachim many times. And the braisa over here talks about which karbanos are qualified and disqualified to be offered as a karban. Not only are we talking about qualification, disqualification of animals that are offered as a karban, but im alu, let's say the karban was brought up onto the mizbeach. Should it be brought down? Should it not be brought down? This is, as we described, a classic Zvachim discussion. The braisa starts off. So, Zos and Ha and He, those are all limitations. So we have over here 3 exclusions. Prat, Linishchata Balayla. And so that means that which karbanos are totally disqualified? If it was Shechtan at night, Vishinishbach Dama, or the blood spilled out directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor. Shiatza Dama Chutz Aklayim, or the blood was taken outside of the Azara. She'im Alsa Tereid. In all of these cases, if it goes up onto the Mizbeach, it is so disqualified that the Mizbeach can't even be collate. The Mizbeach can't shelter it. And it must be taken off the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ola. Now Rabbi Shimon is going to give us his viewpoint. Now the whole purpose of bringing this Braisa is so that we could see the Rabbi Shimon Shita as expressed by Rav Yochanan. So, not to lose the forest, we are quoting this braisa because of our focus on Rabbi Shimon. So, everyone focus on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ola Ein Liala Ola Kshera. Minayin LaRabba Shenishchata Balayla V'Shenish Bachdama V'Shiyatza Dama Chutz Aklayim V'Halan V'Hayotze V'Atame V'Anoser V'Shenishcha Chutz Lazman V'Chutzim Kamo V'Shiki B'Psulim V'Zarku Zaman V'Hanitan Lamala Shenitan Lamata V'Hanitan Lamata Shenitan Lamala V'Hanitan Bechutz Shenitan Bifnim V'Hanitan Bifnim Shenitan Bechutz V'HaPesach V'HaChata Sheshachtam Shalol Lishman Minayin Tamalomer Zos Taras Ha'Ola Riba Torah Achas Lechol Ha'Olim Shem Alu Lo Yardu. Rabbi Shimon listed a litany of various disqualifications, or even though these are all psulim and these are all disqualifications, if they go up onto the Mizbeach, so lo yardu. So they are not to come down. Okay, now I know I didn't explain any of them. I know that. But, and I'm gonna leave it all unexplained, because I'm just going to stay right now with the singular point that the Gemara wants to make. What about these disqualifications? The disqualifications of an animal that was involved in bestiality, animal set aside for avodah zarah, an animal that was worshipped as avodah zarah, animal exchanged for prostitution, an animal that was exchanged for a dog, kalayim, an animal that was crossbred, a trefa, an animal that does not have a lifespan, and yotzei dofen. And also, an animal that's born via cesarean. So how do I know that these animals are so disqualified that they are to not only not go up onto the Mizbech, but are brought up onto the Mizbech, not come down from the Mizbech? Tamalam or Zos. So the Torah says Zos, which tells us that these are, according to Rabbi Shimon, super disqualified. To the point where, even if they go up onto the Mizbech, they're going to be removed from the Mizbech. Mari Yisla Rabba Sezeel Lohotze Zeelu. Okay, so the first grouping of disqualifications Rabbi Shimon tolerates. or Rabbi Shimon argues the Mizbech is going to tolerate. The second grouping, the Mizbech, is not going to tolerate. So what exactly is the dividing line between Mizbech being tolerant and the Mizbech being intolerant? That's the Gemara's question. As we now turn to the top of Mem Aleph and Aleph, Achir Shariba Kasev Amir Amart Marbe Ani Eselu Shayu Psulam Bekodesh Umotzianu Eselu Shaloya Psulam Bekodesh. And the difference is, when did the disqualification occur? You probably made the observation, although I didn't explain the first grouping. But if you understood many of the first grouping, those are all disqualifications that occurred in the Azara during procedure of doing the Avoda. The second grouping, those are all, I was going to say congenital issues, not all of them. Many of them are congenital issues, but all of them are disqualifications occur even before the animal got to the Beis HaMikdash. So, if you have an animal with a disqualification that preceded it even being brought into the Beis HaMikdash, so that the Mizbech says, look, shouldn't have even brought it here. And now you brought it here, now you offered as a carbon, now it's on the Mizbech. Rabbi Shimon says, no tolerance. La im alu yardu. But for the first grouping where it was a procedural issue while doing the avoda, okay, im alu yardu. Im alu lo yardu. Okay, fine. The point of all this, as we now are going to just continue, ketani miyat yotzei dofen, the lo. So we see over here that the yotzei dofen, the cesarean, is not to be brought as a carbon. This is Rabbi Shimon talking. And that's exactly the point. This supports Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan told us that according to Rabbi Shimon, an animal which is a carbon, which gives birth via cesarean, is disqualified. And even Rabbi Shimon agrees. So my love Yossi Dofen to Kachim. So aren't we talking about Yossi Dofen of a Kachim? So I'm Rav Huna, Bered Rav Nasan, lo Yossi Dofen to Bechor. And then the Gemara is going to continue from this point going forward, trying to argue that maybe this brisa is not such an ironclad proof on behalf of Rav Yochanan. But at this point, we'll stop awkwardly. We'll pick it up tomorrow in terms of where we could go with this proof, why the proof is not necessarily proof. Anyway, but it was an attempt to prove Rav Yochanan that even Rav Shimon would agree that an animal that a carbon that has a baby that came out via cesarean, even Rav Shimon would agree it's disqualified for the Beis HaMikdash.